We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making Nigeria Info your preferred talk station. We would like to, on behalf of my colleagues, say a very big, big, big thank you for always keeping us as your number one, your preferred talk radio. The numbers are out again, and we're still number one talk station. Many thanks to you for making that possible. You can listen to us from our website, nigeriainfo.fm. That's right, where you can listen and also listen to our podcast as the past shows here on Nigeria Info from the website as well. You can download our shows, you can get familiar with the OAPs. You can listen to Nigeria Info Lagos, Nigeria Info Port Harcourt, Nigeria Info Abuja on that same website, right? You can also track every conversation that we're having on Nigeria Info via our social media platform. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live on there right now. You can see my guest already well seated. You can also watch on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can contribute to the show on those two platforms by dropping your comment. Feel free to also join us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. So let's get to it. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Nice to meet you. Let's begin by letting you know that we started a series yesterday on the state of the nation, looking at what these presidential aspirants from major political parties, what they're bringing to the table, what you need to know, and what they have told you. That's our focus. But I have Osei Anene here. He ran for the House of Reps. Osei, morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Glad to be here, as always. Good morning.
Morning. Let me start this way, though. Let's talk about what is most current right now, and that is the impeachment move by the National Assembly to impeach President Muhammadu Buhari. What's your take on this? Do some people feel that it's just a mere distraction, that it's not going to go anywhere, that it's too late. Some are saying that it's better late than never. Some are saying even if it's not going to scale through because of the rigorous process, nature of the process, it still has to be, you know, done as a statement of some sort. But let me hear from you, Osei. What's your take on this?
So good morning, Lagos. Maybe the first thing, good morning, Nigerians. Good morning, the world. I've watched your show outside Nigeria, so it's I can say good morning, the world. I think the first thing I just want to say is to put a framework around why this impeachment notice was served now. It's because of insecurity. If you recall, quite recently, the Kuje prison was. There was a prison break at Kuje prison. Boko Haram came into the capital city, freed inmates, including very, very high-risk Boko Haram members who had been arrested and incarcerated. Right. Not only that, a few days later, they attacked the presidential guard and killed some members of the presidential guard, again in Abuja. And then they issued a threat that they would kidnap the president. And this is sort of like instructive because they actually did issue a threat that they were going to, rescue their colleagues from right. Kuje prison.
Right.
So it's not a threat that, you know, should be taken idly, especially when they have shown that they can successfully carry out operations
right.
in the Federal Capital Territory.
Right.
But that's sort of what the background around which the alarmed lawmakers said they needed the president to sit up and take the security issues seriously. And they gave him an ultimatum, 6 weeks, and if anything happened within 6 weeks, we will issue a notice of impeachment. It's not an impeachment. You just need, I think, 1/3 of the Senate to issue that notice.
Right.
But, you know, to people who say, you know, the president only has 6 months left, why heat up the polity? I know it's early in Lagos, and I want to use a very, very off-color analogy. Imagine if you're working on someone raping a woman, and the rapist says, you know what, I've already started, so, you know, there's no need to intervene. Let me finish before you act. That literally is what is happening to Nigeria now. The APC government is raping and pillaging and devastating this country. And to say that it's okay to allow them to continue to meet this level of misrule for another 10 months is almost criminal in my mind. So it's late. I think if I have any grounds, is that there have been several instances where the National Assembly could have stepped up to impeach this president. Those of you in Lagos remember the event of October 20, 2020, when the military was rolled out to shoot at people, unarmed young people at the Lekki toll gate. Some of our listeners in the north, in Kaduna specifically, remember when a general's chest was touched and the military rolled into a religious community and executed almost 1,000 Shiites. You can remember when the excess credit account was depleted without National Assembly authorization or budgeting, just by executive fiat. There have been so many instances, I could go on and on, when they tried to repress our speech by again unilaterally banning Twitter, the social media bills and gagging bills and oppressive bills the government have tried to push through. At any one of these instances, the National Assembly could have stepped up, you know, to protect us from this oppressive government. They didn't. They are stepping up now. It's late, but rather late than ever.
Indeed. Now, let's proceed very quickly, right? Let's talk about another issue that I know that you're aware of. The governors, 36 state governors and the FCT, they came together. They are looking at what's going on in the polity. They're looking at the budget. They're looking at the economy, insecurity, and the rest of them. And they put together about 33 recommendations divided into three parts, part A, part B, and part C. So we're just going to pick a few of those parts and talk about. First is, of course, where they said that government must cease payment for subsidy. And if government does this, we're going to be saving about 6 or 7 trillion naira. What's your thought on subsidy removal?
Again, I always like to put a background to this conversation. If you recall, I think it was back in 2012 where the Jonathan administration tried to remove subsidy. And some of these same actors, some of them were political leaders at the time, some of these same actors were very, very vocal in pushing against removal of subsidy at that time. If you fast forward 10 years and you ask yourself what has changed, I think Nigerians need to understand that, you know, most of our political actors are very, very selfish. What we've seen is a depletion of revenues coming from the center to the states. NNPC is no longer remitting as it used to the Federation account. Our revenues from tax and oil have depleted significantly. We don't have as much FDI coming in. So our economy is shrinking, and as a result, as a direct result of that, monies that used to go to the states are no longer easily available as it used to be. And so what they are trying to do is, I think, advise the federal government, you know, again in the twilight of its administration, to start austerity measures that they should have implemented a long time ago. Again, a caveat, because the Nigerian Governors Forum has come out to say that some of the things that they're alleged to have said, and they didn't say it. For instance, the sacking of people above 50 years old, you know, the NGF have come out to say they didn't actually make that recommendation. But on my take on subsidy is the same position we've held since 2012.
Right.
It's a corruption tax that every Nigerian is paying into the pockets of a few very, very wealthy individuals. I always say that PMS, fuel, petrol, is not the energy source of the masses. The masses get their energy from firewood, from coal, from compressed natural gas, that's cooking gas, from kerosene. Industries and heavy transportation gets their power, their energy sources from diesel. You know, so your food trucks coming from all over the country, they use diesel. That's how your diesel comes in. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of you would have seen a spike in food prices, just as diesel prices were spiking because transportation costs increased. So there's a small subset of the economy that actually uses PMS and is the most corrupt, almost unregulated energy field. You know, I think next year is projected that subsidy will cost us almost 7 trillion naira.
That's right.
Almost 7 trillion.
Right.
That's actually more than debt servicing. So we will find ourselves, if we're to continue the subsidy regime, borrowing money to pay for subsidy so that people can, the NNPC can import fuel and export it to, it will be smuggled to our neighbors because our fuel is most attractive on the sub-Saharan, on the subcontinent because it's the cheapest. So what will we do? It's something that Atiku has always said he would do. They started, you know, graduated subsidy removal while they were in office. We wanted to complete it. We think it should go.
Right.
For one, personally, I think subsidies should are better, you know, focus, you know, in education, in healthcare, in mass housing, than in just servicing, you know, a very, very small segment of society.
I'm going to stick with you on this subsidy conversation because, like you have rightly said, it wasn't a new topic. It's been a debate that's been around for quite some time now. The current government, you know, touted the issue of removing subsidy when they come in, but when they eventually came in, there was another name we're hearing, under recovery is what they call it. And I've said that regardless of the name you want to call it, in one way or the other, we're still paying subsidy, regardless of the name you want to call it. And you have said, you mentioned Atiku, which I know because you belong to the PDP. Yesterday we had somebody from the Labour Party on the show. Why should we believe that any incoming government, whether it's the current party or the coming another party opposition, why should anybody believe that any government in this country? Because people, let's be very realistic, citizens, politicians, fair citizens, when it comes to this issue of subsidy, no government wants a mass action from the people. So who is to say that the people can trust any government in 2023 to want to remove subsidy?
That's a very good question. And I think it boils down to two things. It boils down to, I don't know if you're still with me.
Yes, I'm with you completely. Yes, I can hear you.
It boils down to consistency and political will. So on consistency, you know, it's an interesting question you ask. I'm reading this document. It's a book I think published in 2017.
I can see it.
It has speeches as far back as, yeah. So you can see the title, it's Restructuring, right?
Yeah.
Restructuring as a Pathway to Unity and Development. It has his speeches from as far back as 2009, where he has been pushing for restructuring, state police, and the removal of fuel subsidies. So when you talk about consistency, this is someone who has for almost two decades been pushing the same message. Again, you must be aware that these are not popular, these are populist issues. Nigerians don't want fuel subsidy to go because it's going to mean increased fuel prices at the pump.
Right.
Many Nigerians, especially many northern Nigerians, are terrified of the idea of restructuring because they feel somehow it disadvantages the South. I mean, it disadvantages the North. Favor of the South.
Right.
So these are not populist positions he has been preaching, like I said, for almost two decades. The second thing is political will. This current government tried to remove subsidy, if you recall. Labour, and it's interesting you mentioned Labour, and I'll speak to policy incoherence if there's enough time. Labour protested the removal of subsidies. And what did this government do? They shifted it to after the elections. So they are saying, you know, they will consider removing subsidy, but only after the elections. And the simple, cynical reason they've done that is so that they don't have to deal with the backlash from Labour or from Nigerians if they remove subsidies and people start to feel that, you know, this APC government is punishing them. So they've kicked the can down so that the next government deals with that problem. You know, so in Atiku, we have a candidate who has been consistent and who clearly has the will, the political will to push it through. He's the only one running on this agenda of restructuring state police and removal of subsidies.
Indeed. In case you're just joining us, you're welcome. It's The Crossfire. Ose Aneni is joining us on the show via Zoom. You can watch it live on Facebook and on YouTube. We're going to take a few calls in before we delve into other areas of our conversation this morning. If you've got a a thought or two that I'd like to share on the show, feel free to call in 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. And please, when you call in, because of time, make it very short and straight to the point, so we can get in as many thoughts as possible and probably get us's reactions to your thought. Huh? Thank you. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. This is Joyce.
Welcome, Joyce. Welcome, Joyce.
I'm not for the removal of first subsidy. Subsidy should not be removed if the, refineries are not working.
Okay.
Because that's the only way Nigerians will not feel impact. If it's not working, removing first subsidy is going to make Nigerians even further poor. Subsidy has been removed from kerosene and diesel. Look at the price we are having now. So what made you think that when you remove subsidy now, we'll not buy fuel for 1,000 naira? Basically, we don't have light. So we depend solely on PMS. So if subsidy should be removed, every other thing should work first before it can be taken off.
All right.
That's my position.
Thank you, Joy, for calling. Appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Oh, we lost that. Let's take another. Nigeria Info, good morning. Good morning to you. Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, please. We're waiting. We're waiting for you. Please go on quickly.
That's your analyst. It's well studied analyst. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
It's well studied in what you say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you too for calling me. Appreciate it. All right. Let's start with Joyce's thought about if we have to. Okay. I think we're. Is it rude to me? Let me see. Somebody's on the line. Hello. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sharif.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I want to talk about the petroleum subsidy.
Yes, please.
Because government told us once some of the products are deregulated, everybody will go into the field. They started producing. We deregulated kerosene, we deregulated diesel. As at this moment, apart from Dangote, nobody has ventured into that business. And all the politicians have told us is that this is what's going to happen after deregulation. Oceanini in particular, and then is that in particular, all of them about Sanjo and Co. How come nobody has ventured into that after we deregulated kerosene and diesel? Thank you.
Thank you too. Ose, let's begin.
Brilliant questions from your guest. Joy is absolutely correct. Remember I said that, you know, you have kerosene servicing the masses, you have diesel servicing industries and transportation. It's almost hypocritical that the energy sources that serve the most critical, most vulnerable sectors of society are deregulated. So kerosene is deregulated, diesel is deregulated, but it's only PMS that isn't. And she's absolutely correct when she talks about, you know, there needs to be a congruence between, you know, us locally producing, so refineries working, for instance, other sectors working before you remove subsidy.
Right. Also, I'm losing you. Oh, okay. I think the signal is weak at this point. Hopefully, we'll get him back on. Let's take some calls in the meantime before the break. We're almost due for the break, by the way. Morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Quickly. What's your name?
Yeah, Felix Kombadagi.
Please turn off your radio now.
For me, I don't know.
Just turn off your radio and call me back, huh? Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
This is Joy calling.
Joy, I'm afraid you're going to have to call me back, Joy. Please, when you call me, be ready to go straight, hit the ground running and talk to me. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
The station with the information you need.
Those who constructed Abuja Port knew ability that trucks coming to load must have to park there and wait for their turn to load. That was why these places were provided. Now, you came and sold those places and purchased them everywhere. Then, truck who want to load now will not park along the road. It doesn't work.
We don't micromanage this committee from Abuja. No, it's a local affair. These are people who know the people within the state and who know who those who actually need these jobs within the state.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Also on Aneni is on Skype. You can watch on Skype right now. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, rather. Nigeria Info 99.3. Also, thank you so much for joining us again. It's in Abuja, by the way. Good morning to you once again, Ose.
Good morning.
Now let's continue with your reaction, your response to the calls before the break. I have other callers waiting in line.
Okay, I'll try to be quick. And Joy and Rotimi, I think, asked a really, really good question. And Joy is absolutely correct. You know, we're suffering from a failure of government, and it makes no sense for government to penalize citizens for their own inefficiency. So even though we all recognize that Nigeria is broke and cannot afford to pay the subsidies, even if we want to, it would be a graduated subsidy removal program. And we would make sure that other sectors are working, other areas are able to. So, you know, we won't be directly passing on the burden, this cost burden to Nigerians, even though the prices of PMS will increase. Don't let anybody come and tell you otherwise. They are lying to you. They tell you that they can freeze the price of fuel. Price of fuel will increase, but we'll hopefully see a reduction in other things, maybe in the price of goods and services, healthcare, etc. So that's how we will hope to handle that. But you are absolutely correct. Our refineries should work. And this sort of transits to Rotimi's question when he asked about licenses were issued. Why don't we have more licenses? It's simply because the government is the main player in the sector. The government fixes the prices. The government is the only person that imports. So nobody can compete with government. Mm. Government is paying a subsidy. Businesses cannot afford to pay the subsidy that government is paying. You know, so Atiku's plan, you know, is to let the government step back with its inefficiency and corruption from running business. The private sector has to drive our economy. Mm. And in that economy, it must be small and medium scale enterprises that will actually lead that charge. Mm. So that's sort of like is the plan. All your concerns are valid, but it's just simply the fact that government has failed. Government cannot be as efficient as the private sector. And when government steps away, you will then start seeing a lot more competition. Mm. I don't want to limit it to this conversation about privatization.
Right.
The best example I'll give was the liberalization of the telecom sector, where we had a major player, Nitel, that when Nitel was privatized and the sector liberalized, you had your Glos and your MTNs and your Econets coming in, and competition between them just drive the prices down to the point where we can all in our homes sit down and watch this program on our phones or our laptops. That really is if I were to point to one example of what an Atiku government would look like, that's what an Atiku government would look like.
Quickly, before I take another call, let's talk about, you know, the Atiku camp. I'm sure that you're aware of the obedient movement. Are you people scared? Yes. You people, they shake. Have you? They shake you.
Between you and me, I'm terrified. Please don't tell anyone I said that. I'm terrified because, not because I think Peter Obi can win. He's a brilliant administrator. He's a very, very fine gentleman. It's simply because of the nature of our first past the post politics. And you can see what happened in Ekiti, where the PDP had Segun Oni on its ticket. He felt wronged by the outcome of the primaries. He left the party, split the votes. He actually polled higher than the PDP in that Ekiti governorship election.
Right.
But ultimately, the APC, who had performed badly for 4 years, won the election. Because we need to understand that when we go into an election, there's a ruling party and the ruling party votes. And then there's the opposition and opposition party votes. And anytime you split opposition party votes, it favors the ruling
the
party.
Ruling party.
Which is why you will see Festus Keyamo, spokesperson for Tinubu, come on air to start praising Obi. Because he wants to divide the opposition votes. Obi cannot win, but I don't think it'll be very difficult for my camp to win without Obi's support. We need a united opposition if we are going to defeat the incumbent APC.
Now, that brings me to the issue of the controversy, the imbroglio in your party, the PDP. I'm sure that, I mean, you are in Atiku's camp. I don't know what's happening between your camp and Wike's camp, but it looks like when you people see yourself on the road, you can start boxing. How do you think this would affect your chances in 2020, or you hope that this can be put to rest before 2023 elections? Is there any hope at all this can end?
No, it's interesting that you say I'm in Atiku's camp. My presidential candidate is Atiku, but I am firmly in Wike's camp.
Oh, really?
I'm from the South. Yes, he's our leader.
Oh, yes. Wow. Tell me about that. I mean, how are you coping? How are you managing?
No, the fact of the matter is, you know, regardless of how we feel about the outcome of the primaries and how he was treated, those are personal issues.
Yeah.
What Nigeria faces is literally state failure. There are indices that mark, you know, how close a state is to collapse, whether it's food inflation, whether it's insecurity, whether it's unemployment.
You're not answering my question. Like,
I'm getting to it because of time. Go on. So these issues to all of us in the PDP are the threats we need to address, and the one party that represents that threat most is the APC. So we all understand that we must come together to defeat the APC and Tinubu's candidacy. So these personal issues will be resolved. I'm sure you guys are aware that Atiku has already met Wike. There was a meeting brokered by Professor Jerry Gana. So conversations are on. Like I said, Wike is my leader.
Hold on a sec. Professor Jerry Gana, was Atiku present at that meeting physically?
Yes. There was a second. You saw the last.
Yes.
There was a follow-up meeting between Professor Gana, Atiku, and Wike. Hmm. So that meeting has held. More meetings will continue to hold. The PDP does not in any way feel we can do it without any one of our members. And, you know, we are strong students of history. Hmm. If you recall, in 2015, there was a conflict that wasn't resolved that led to the departure of five governors to the APC at that time. Hmm. That led directly to the loss of power by Goodluck Jonathan. Mm. Wike is not even standing alone. He has Otom, he has Makinde, he has other government. So right. He's not, you know, you cannot disregard his influence electorally. You cannot disregard his contribution to the party. Mm. When we were in the opposition, he literally at one point was the single opposition
party.
Resisting the APC.
That's right.
So we are not going to go into this election, into this campaign without Wike with us. He's a member of the PDP. He has committed to not leaving, and we will continue to mend fences that were broken in a very, very competitive primaries and post-primaries period.
Just the other time, I mean, we're going to leave this issue after this question. The other time the APC governors visited Wike, and only just yesterday, the Lagos State governor was showering praises as if their buddies, you know, from way back. Are you guys bothered? Do you think that Governor Wike is being poached by the ruling party?
I think it only points to his value. But like I said, Governor Wike is a PDP man. He has been with the party since 1999.
Are you worried? Are you bothered?
We are not. Wike is my leader. I have no concerns at all that he will leave the party. I think what we are seeing is just a negotiation of value right now. That's what is happening. Wike wants his value to be appreciated and recognized and codified by the party going into a presidential election. And that will happen.
Indeed. Let's take one call. Then I'll come back to you. We'll talk some more. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning,
Shirley. Yes, good morning to you.
I want to just say something very quickly. You know, talking on the impeachment saga,
right. We're
better late than never. And like your guest said, politicians are very, very selfish. The reason why they are rising to their responsibility at this time is because the fight is coming closer home. You know, it's because Abuja is now in the radar. That's why. If it wasn't so, they were not concerned. So I still support that they go ahead with the impeachment because this government can do anything within the next 1 month or 2 months. Even if they have 3 days to go, they will do anything. I have my own. This is just to me now. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah. The
government might be saying, everybody in Nigeria might be saying this government has failed. But as far as the players are concerned, they have not failed.
Okay.
This is to me, this looks like their own plan, their own agenda.
All right.
And they're playing it very, very well. They're okay with it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Let's take another. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Thank you. This is Joy calling.
Okay.
My take this morning. I'm even angry whenever I hear this subsidy of a matter.
Okay.
Because the way this government talk about it, they don't supposed to even bring it up at all. It's not the way this country is. The way they measure it for the first time, Nigeria supposed to remove them from that seat of power. That is how I look at it. Again, Atiku, once he do campaign, he disappear from this country and go and stay in another country. So now he wants to rule Nigeria. Where will he stay after he wins the election? Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, he will stay here if he wins. Uche, hi, good morning to you.
Hey, Sherry Baba, I greet you.
Hi, salute you.
I just want to ask that analyst a question.
Okay.
And to make a point clear to you, Sheriff, yesterday you brought in Professor Nwokobia.
Yeah.
I don't think that Professor Nwokobia is of the Labour Party. He said it himself that he belongs to the APC.
No, he is actually Labour. He left the APC.
Fine.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to ask analyst this question. He said something that I would have expected you to ask him to expatiate.
Go on and ask.
He said that he does not think that an Obi can win.
Yeah.
In fact, he said he can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please ask him if he's listening. What gives him that strong conviction, considering the fact that his party, the PDP, and this APC have completely ruined this country?
Okay. Is that it, Uche?
Yeah, hello, Sherry.
Okay. Yes.
Is he not aware of the fact that Nigerians, at least once, are beginning to get this?
Oh, Uche, I'm sorry. I mean, the network is affecting both telephone and even internet. I don't know what we're going to do about it. And, man, and my lines are buzzing off the hook. Let's see who we've got here. Oh, okay, the person is gone. Let's try another one, whether we'll be able to speak with this caller. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
Sir, good morning.
Please go on.
For me, for the subsidy, I don't know what these people are saying. 20% Nigerians believe them. Up to now, they are still telling stories, and Nigeria keeps new. I bought kerosene 4,000 naira the other day. I'm a Onyeze, but I'm not blindfolded with my support. He should say enough. Let him have Nigeria at the back of his heart. He's one of the foundation members in PDP. You can't build a house and destroy the house. Enough of this is talking. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take one more, then would have also respond to your thoughts. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning to you.
Yes, Mr. Austin speaking from Aja.
Welcome, Mr. Austin. Welcome.
Yes. Please, we don't need people of 80 years, 17 years, please. That's my contribution.
That's it? Oh, okay. All right. I think we'll take this one, then. Good morning to you.
Morning
to you.
Hello.
Where you are is very noisy. I'm afraid you have to find a quiet place and call me back. Please do that. Eh? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Ayo calling.
Welcome, Mr. Ayo. Welcome.
Please send us our guest here.
Yes.
That men of 70, 80 years are no longer broke in Nigerian politics.
Okay.
And I don't know what assurance does he have to say Obi cannot win.
Okay.
Let him know that Nigerians are about to take back their country.
Okay.
Obi is winning.
Okay. Okay. Now, Ose, I've had callers, and quite a number of them are saying that the first caller said that what gave you the conviction that Obi cannot win, that he would like you to break it down, why you think that Obi cannot win, despite the fact that, according to him, your party and the APC has completely ruined this country. Same goes for this last caller as well. They are also putting into consideration the age of Atiku Abubakar.
So, great questions. I'll answer this, then I'll try and double back to answer Joy's question.
Okay.
So, it's really simple. It's that, politics, when we say politics is a game of numbers, it's a game of numbers. I gave the example, again, of Ekiti, where when you split votes, is the ruling party that wins. A lot of people saw, you know, online and on social media, this perceived drive to go and get your PVCs. Many people don't know that, you know, PDP has been registering people for more than a year before Obi even joined, as has the APC. And that's why when the final figures came out, you know, you saw, I think the North had more registrants than the South. And it was actually the Southeast that had the lowest number of registrants compared to all the other regions.
That's right.
So, you know, I acknowledge the enthusiasm, but unfortunately, you know, elections are logistical issues, you know, and just the timing, you know, prevented a lot of people from being able to pick up, get registered. Mm. The timing will prevent a lot of people from picking up their PVCs. Mm. And you don't have a national spread.
When you say logistical issue, can you break that down? What do you mean by that?
No, I'm saying an election is an event,
okay,
made up of several logistical issues. Mm-hmm. INEC is very familiar with this.
Yeah.
So on election day, you'll see that material is not coming because drivers are on strike or they've gone to the wrong location. You have to print ballot papers and this and that and that. So it's a logistical exercise.
Okay.
So just the whole process, because of the, I think Obi left APC and PDP to Labour about 6 weeks ago, mm-hmm, barely 6 weeks ago. So, you know, you don't have 10 months of election, you don't have the time to build that national spread. You don't, mm-hmm, have the time to convince farmers in Zamfara, for instance, that Obi represents their best interest, you know, because he hasn't been speaking to them for 4 odd years, for instance.
Mm.
So is this a great start? Absolutely, I agree. Will it impact on the elections? Some of my people don't think so, but I think it will heavily. I think people that are supporting Obi traditionally would have supported Atiku.
Mm.
You know, so Obi's emergence sort of like affects the PDP vote more than it imperils the APC and Tinubu's vote.
Mm.
So again, I want to say clearly, I have the highest respect for Peter Obi. I think he would make a fantastic president. I just don't think he can win. And I'm pretty sure that a divided opposition cannot defeat the APC.
What makes Atiku Abubakar stand out? I mean, we've been talking about Peter Obi, you know, all morning. Like, what makes Atiku stand out? People have had, he's been in the presidency before. Why should anybody even consider him again?
I think the fact that he has been in the presidency before is a great starting point. Nigeria's best economic period was the 16 years of PDP. If you zoom into those 16 years of PDP, our best economic period was 1999 to 2003, mm-hmm, where Atiku was not only the chairman of the National Economic Council, he was the head of the Presidential Economic Management Team. And in 2002, I think, we recorded the highest levels of GDP growth we have ever recorded. It was 15.3% under his leadership. And parts of that leadership included, you know, the privatization and liberalization exercise we referred to earlier. So he has the chops and track record to show that, you know, he can get it done.
Mm.
But beyond that, you know, I don't think Nigeria's major problem is insecurity or food inflation or unemployment. I think it's the fact that we are a deeply divided nation.
Okay.
And if we don't address that,
okay,
you know, if, and you saw it with Jonathan, when Jonathan was fighting Boko Haram,
mm-hmm,
northern leaders came together to say that Jonathan was attacking the north.
Mm-hmm.
When Buhari is attacking IPOB, southern elders come together to say that he is attacking Igbos. You know, so we are so divided that you cannot make any progress, whether it's in the economy, whether it's in security, without one or another section of the country feeling marginalized, you know, disenfranchised, mm-hmm, or persecuted. And Atiku recognizes that fact, that the first point of his 5-point agenda is recognizing that we are a divided country,
yeah,
and pledging to unite it,
mm,
pledging to run an inclusive government that includes not just the ethnic and religious components of this nation, but women and youth.
Mm.
You know, so you have a man who has diagnosed the problem and has said the most pressing thing we need to do is unite this country. And once that unity is achieved, we can then, as one nation, start tackling insecurity, unemployment, education, healthcare, and all these other problems that are pulling us down.
Indeed.
That's his difference.
All right. Also, Anani, let's leave it here for today. I will have you back on this show sometime soon. At that time, we'll most likely have all the, you know, big wigs on the show together. I hope that 1 hour, I mean, the reason why we have split this week into three to speak to the major parties is because of time constraint. Well, hopefully we'll get better and longer time that period so we can have you back to have that debate. Thank you so much for coming on the Morning Cross Party today, Ose.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There you go, Ose Anini of the People's Democratic Party joined us this morning via Zoom. If you've watched online, thank you for joining us. We have to go on the show today. Tomorrow we have the APC. Yesterday it was Chris Nwokobia. He was formerly of the APC, but then he moved over just after the APC convention. He crossed over to the Obedient camp. So he represented Peter Obi's Labour Party yesterday on the show. Today, Ose Anini of the PDP was on the show. And tomorrow we'll be having the APC ably represented, to be very, very well represented on the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock. You need to join us for that as well. And on Thursday, we have Health Thursday coming up, and that we'll be speaking with a lady who has, how do I put this now, who's confronted cancer and defeated cancer by practicing some unorthodox ways or steps or processes towards defeating cancer. She'll be joining us live on Thursday to share her story, and perhaps you can benefit, you know, from what she did. I'm Sharif Quadri. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. In the meantime, you can join me for further engagement on my social media platforms. Twitter is at Sharif Quadri, and Instagram is Sharif Quadri. Good morning to you.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, have you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yes.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good! And finally!
We should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer our prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's not about finding happiness in your home. You pray!
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
This life, it good to the upgrade. Like if you've been the drive Okada, it good to upgrade to motor. If you've been the leaf of face me, I slap you, it good to upgrade to self-container.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given
time. Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired, get fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.